This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
For the first time on Joy, Josh Frydenberg, the member for Kooyong and Minister for the Environment. Good morning, Josh.
Nice to be with you, and I think I've been on the show before, but not for some time.
You haven't, and just remember, we sit next to each other on a couple of occasions recently on the plane, and I harassed you, remember?
You're not the first.
No, but I did say, I'm going to steal 5 or 10 minutes of your time, then I'll leave you alone.
What did you harangue Josh about?
We just had a chat. I gave him my card and said, look, love to have you on the show. You know, he was immersed in all these ministerial papers and other stuff, and I left him alone.
Oh, good on you.
Because, you know, I know how annoying that would be when you're trying to do some work. Josh, if I can put you on the spot just to start, and you will have expected this question, will you be voting yes in the survey, the marriage equality survey?
Yes, I will.
Fantastic.
And I'm encouraging all of those in my electorate to participate in the survey. And of course, I'm hoping that the yes vote is successful.
And most importantly, of course, is that as many people as possible vote.
Absolutely. I mean, that was the intention behind the coalition's commitment to having a plebiscite. Obviously, this is our second best option after we didn't receive the support in the parliament, particularly the Senate, for our legislation to establish a compulsory nationwide plebiscite. But hopefully this process will go ahead as planned and will be successful.
Well, we're one closer to victory, thank you. Issue that's really, for those of us who are really into politics and how government works, a lot of listeners not, but I want to talk about supply and confidence. You've got a number of the crossbenchers that previously indicated they would support the government on supply and confidence issues. Bob Catter, well, you know, he's gone off in a Catter scan, as he normally does, but some of the others, Andrew Wilkie amongst them, have said, Rebecca Sharkey from Nick Xenophon Party, have said they're not prepared to do that. Now, in the event that you have a by-election or, you know, if something awful happened, if someone fell off the perch, you're not going to have a majority. You're going to have to rely on Cathy McGowan to get... So supply and confidence. There's a lack of... These people are expressing a lack of confidence in the government. That's pretty serious.
Well, as you know, we won the election with a one-seat majority. It's not the first time that has happened. Indeed, Sir Robert Menzies had a one-seat majority when he was in government.
Jim Killen.
At one point in time. And he actually commented that having a one-seat majority was the best majority to have because it enforced a degree of discipline on your colleagues that wasn't necessarily the case if the margin was larger than that. But look, let's cross that bridge when we come to it. We're very confident in the legal advice we have from the Solicitor General that Barnaby, you know, Joyce will remain in the parliament and that there won't be a need for a by-election. But obviously, that's a decision for the High Court to opine on. We have that legal advice and obviously that will be tested in the coming weeks.
Mm. And Josh, as we've read in the papers, of course, you know, mere mortals like Mac and I haven't seen the advice. Obviously, you have, but we're assuming the advice is based on an interpretation of the previous High Court decisions, which basically say that if you take no proactive steps yourself and you're just, you know, an automaton sitting there, and as one of your cabinet colleagues says, a foreign government, say North Korea, says, or David McCarthy, you're now a citizen of North Korea, that doesn't disqualify you just because of an action of another government. So we're presuming the advice says, look, unless you're involved in some way in seeking this out, which is why the Matt Canavan position may be a little bit different to the Barnaby position, which is that because his mother did take proactive steps, God bless her, to sign him up. whereas we think Barnaby who took no steps, Fiona's Nash, no steps, that's the reason there may be a difference.
And as you know, the loyalty of all those people you've mentioned is first and foremost to Australia. And that was the purpose of Section 44 when the founding fathers put it in place. They didn't want you to have dual loyalties. And neither Barnaby Joyce, Fiona Nash, Matt Canavan had any understanding or appreciation that they were a citizen of another country. Mm. And I just think that the High Court will obviously look at this very carefully, and I'm not to prejudge its outcome other than to say we have strong legal advice that they are not in the wrong.
Does it, again, Josh, does it concern you, though, that those crossbenchers who, whilst their vote wasn't crucial in you forming government, those discussions took place as you were, you know, after the election, that they pledged supply and confidence?
Mm.
And I think it's, you know, that they've now withdrawn that. And I think it's fair to say that a lot of Australians, I mean, you know, the politicians amongst us, we're fascinated by it. But a lot of Australians are like, you know, what the hell is going on up there? Every few days we've got another situation about joint citizenship. But again, I want to come back, supply and confidence. This is crucial stuff for a government, Josh. These people have said, we're not going to guarantee supply and we don't have confidence in the government. It's pretty serious.
Well, of course, all those issues could be very pertinent down the track. But right now, we are in a majority. We have been successful in passing a large amount of important pieces of legislation through the parliament. In the upper house, very few governments have had majorities in both the Senate and the House. Indeed, since the Second World War, you only had Menzies, Howard and Fraser with majorities in the upper house. You never had a Labor government with majority in its own right in both houses. So we've always had to work with crossbenchers in the upper house. In the lower house, it's a more difficult scenario. And as you know, the Gillard years saw them work with the crossbenchers on a day-by-day proposition. I don't think Australia was well served by that. But right now, we have the majority in the lower house. We're confident that that will be maintained. And as you say rightly, Australians are expecting their politicians to get on with the big issues that the country is facing, whether it's national security and counter-terrorism, whether it's maintaining our 26 years of continuous economic growth, or whether it's in my own policy portfolio of energy and the environment, just getting on with the job of providing better outcomes for the people of Australia.
Now, we're running out of time, but I want to ask you, Josh, for your electorate, there'll be a lot of people in Kooyong listening. I actually used to live in Kooyong Coote Road.
Did you move out, Maka?
When I went
down, capitalised on the high property price.
Yeah, that's right. No, it was quite something. Was actually when I was at uni.
Oh, really? Well, you should have moved back in now that Josh is a member.
I should. For people in your electorate,
that's a prime spot.
Correct.
Yeah.
What electorate are you in now, Maka? By the way,
I'm actually in Bill Shorten's electorate.
What?
Maribyrnong.
Oh, my goodness. Move out immediately.
No, but Mooney Ponds.
Well, vote early and vote often, Maca.
Yeah. That's right. Well, that's
Maca, move back to Kooyong.
That's an old Labor Party line, that one. For people in your electorate, Josh, but also our listeners, you said, yes, you're going to vote for marriage equality and encouraging people to register. I'd just like you to tell them why you're voting yes. Why you support marriage equality?
Well, I think everyone should have the right to express their love in a formal way through a union such as marriage. And I have had the opportunity to speak with many gay couples and indeed their parents and their grandparents and their siblings. And for them, this is an extremely important issue. Now, of course, for people who don't want to see marriage equality, they have their own reasons, and some have been religiously motivated, and we need to respect those views and ensure that the debate is conducted in a very constructive way. But if you look around the world, whether it's in Ireland or Germany, the United Kingdom, there are there have been moves for some time towards marriage equality, and I think public sentiment has moved. That's what I've picked up. And there's certainly a difference in the views of people based on their age demographic in particular. And I think younger people, and certainly my generation, have moved overwhelmingly in favour of same-sex marriage. I think it's inevitable in this country, and I'm just hoping that it comes sooner than later.
Thank you. Thank you, Josh. Nice words. Thank you for your time. We have ran out. You're always welcome on the show. You know that. And again,
I hope to join you again.
You will. Trust me.
He's a good man. He's a good man. Josh, thank you very much indeed for being with us this morning. We greatly appreciate your time.
Yeah.
All the best. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
Thanks, Becca.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.